From her crumbling bunker, a post-apocalyptic librarian explores the wasteland, recovers books, and keeps the flame of knowledge alive.
An eccentric traveler with tales slightly more than believable wanders the wilds in search of fine beers, good company, and strange artifacts.
A wheeling-dealing maverick, not averse to a new scheme or hustle, keeps an eye out for the next wealthy dupe or pursuing lawman.
They find themselves together, traveling the long roads of Texas, meeting steampunk luminaries, and stumbling across outrageous fortune.
Tonight, they report back to you, through strange telegraph technology, on the latest happenings, interesting trivia of our steampunk world in the great state of Texas.
Join us now for the Texas Steampunk Connection.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is Tuesday night, and you've reached the Texas Steampunk Connection. Thank you for tuning in. And that was our new opening sequence that I've been banging my head against the wall trying to knock out.
Great job. Perfect. I love the music. I love the voice acting. You got me spot on.
Jack, your voice acting is very dramatic. It's like, wow, that's a lot of energy. It's kind of scary.
Apparently, I put in effort somewhere.
Primer for like a murder mystery. I'm like, what? Nobody dies. It's okay. Oh,
speaking of that, I have a guy in Britain who I play games with. Can you do me a weird favor? Well, sure. He's like, you read this real quick. And it's the opening scrawl of his murder mystery novel for audiobook. I'm like, well, I get paid for this if you make any money. And he's like, of course you do. And the fact that you're on the whole like deal and everything. So
speaking
I have
of that. Y'all a good choice.
Y'all are on the hook to record for me for my show.
Okay. I mean, sure. Let's get this done. Let's get you graduated. Jeez, what are we waiting for? Let's do it right now. Chop, chop. Come on.
We have the calendar worked out. We are going to be releasing every 3 weeks. I will be defending in September.
Nice.
And graduate. Well, September or October, depends on the scheduling. And I will be graduating in December.
So when we go to November, you can drink a lot.
Yes, because I will technically, even though I haven't walked yet, I will technically be Dr. Elizabeth Hedrick.
So there
by
we
the
go.
Time November arrives. Yes.
We're going to have the pre-doc party.
Yes. It'll be the pre-graduation party. Very exciting.
I wasn't aware that we needed reasons to be able
it's just
to
nice
drink
to have.
Yeah, but I might actually get if y'all are down with it all, we'll get a room out there and we'll actually stay all
we'll have
night
that moment where she's like,
and I'll be at the point where Matt has to carry me back to the car.
Dragging her out of the car and she's like, I love you guys.
I love you guys. I get very, very affectionate when I'm drunk. I hug people that probably never wanted me to hug them. So. Trying to get better about asking permission first.
So that'll be there when we record. We'll record that for our next opening scrawl.
Can I hug you?
Based blue stock, Dr. Blue Stocking.
I love you guys.
I'm a doctor now.
I'm a doctor.
Squee!
Oh, that'll be great.
Okay, so.
Lawrence and Rita say howdy. Of course.
I didn't flip over to the comp. There we go. Hello.
Hey, you guys. Where should we start? I think we can definitely say it is spring.
It is spring.
Yeah.
February is over. The trees are blossoming. I've got two red buds out front that are just gorgeous.
My peach trees are.
Yeah, and everything
it was 90 is degrees today.
We got to 71, but I don't think y'all got what we got last week on Wednesday and Thursday. We dropped back down to, it was supposed to be 55 both days. It was 49 both days.
Oh, we got down to 65-ish and then immediately shot back up to 80s.
Yes, and Rita, the wasps are definitely out and about. We've already had to put out the library warning that there might be wasps in the library, so be careful. Yeah, every year they show up.
The wasps.
Library wasps. Watch out for the library wasps.
Yes.
Me and my gal. I love
a lot of book in here. Thunk, 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 thunk.
Nobody says that, but I love our wasps. We've got.
I hate wasps with fiery passion.
The paper wasps that build their little
honeycomb nest looking things.
Honeycomb nests right over our front door.
Are you being serious?
Everybody from wanting to come in.
Nobody wants to come to the door.
Okay. They're a deterrent.
They're a deterrent.
Okay.
And I've never been stung by them.
Denial weapon.
They see me come in and out. The door swings right in front of them daily. They are not bothered. We don't bother them.
Okay, but do you get the big red ones?
Yes. Those the are cicada terrifying. Killers? Yeah.
No, not cicada killers. These are just, okay. These are giant. Because we had a cicada killer at our old house in Crossroads, and we just let her do her thing because she had like buried her eggs in our yard, and so we would
the
watch.
Size
like,
of your thumb?
Yeah, no, these are just red.
Going 70 miles an hour with your car, and they get stuck up under the windshield, and they only act perturbed.
Yeah, they're huge. No, these are just red, like bright red wasps, and we have a lot of them. Blah, they're terrible. I hate them so much. Yeah.
We also have these weird kind of, they're red, but they have like iridescent wings with like a blue color to parts of the shell. And then it looks like the edges of their shells where the carapaces meet is like gilded gold. It is really cool. And they live in the dirt. They're not dirt gobbers, but they live in the dirt. They come out. It's really strange.
Yeah, I don't.
They're fun.
Yeah, bugs. Bah. Lightning bugs I'm okay with because our yard is usually filled with lightning bugs in May and June.
See, we don't get them down here that often.
Yeah, and fun fact, if you play music, they will come closer to you. Because our landlord told us about that. He would go out and play his guitar. So Matt went out there one spring with his guitar, was playing his guitar on the back deck, and the fireflies were like swarming closer to us. Yeah, it was really cool.
That is cool.
Yeah, they for some reason, I don't know if like it's like live music or if recorded would work, but yeah, they react to it. So,
I mean, I'll admit I like live music better, but I do. I don't mind recording.
I do react better to live music.
It's definitely a different energy.
Okay,
oh no, Lawrence got stung. But his beer is helping. He's got the medication beer.
The Epi beer?
The Epi beer.
Keeps the swelling down.
All right, well, what is everybody? Beer. What are you drinking tonight?
I'll start because we're already talking about bees and
bees and beers and
stuff.
Bees have a good name for an episode.
From Rough House Brewing, Honey Crumb.
Ooh. Nice.
It's a farmhouse beer with rye bread and honey. If you're not familiar with farmhouse beer, they basically just leave the fermentation tank open, and whatever yeast falls in is what falls in. So it's usually like a sour beer.
Okay.
I've never had this. It's going to be one of those.
Yeah, I don't dig on rye bread. I'm just not a fan of that.
I love rye bread.
I had a bad childhood experience. I won't. Yeah.
Did you get attacked by a loaf?
No, but one attacked me from inside my stomach, and it wasn't there very long.
Like I said, that happened. It tried to alien out of your.
There was a whole defiant child thing going on with my aunt. So she didn't make me eat it after that.
I got you.
I've never had rye beer.
So yeah, I didn't know that. Well, I guess any grain can be.
Any grain can be. Well, you can have it. I've had rye beer before. It's definitely a different flavor. I like it though.
It is kind of sour and weirdly bready. Yeah, kind of sweet.
Tastes like bread.
It's like 90% not like overwhelmingly honey. But there is that sort of undertone of a warm rye bread covered in honey. I get that. But it's not strong. It's just a little different. That's very nice.
Do you like it?
I do.
You look like you're not really sure.
I didn't know what to expect. And so I'm kind of, you know.
Processing.
Searching for parallel
right words.
Yeah, this is good. Nice. I got this on the discount rack, of course. $3.
Oh, man. I just need to go shop at your
that one bottle is 10. So I... That's
you could have bought two more of this.
If there were two more, I would have bought them.
You are the master of discount beer.
Damn right.
That right there is a title. You may have to.
Yeah. You may have to alter the opener a little bit. Yeah.
No, that's for next year. We just get him. We just get him a badge that says.
Give him a little badge. Give him a little sash. A little bottle opener.
Yeah, there you go. It's on a keyring. It pops it up. Master of discount
just
beer.
Just swinging his bottle opener as
it's one of those butterfly knives, but it's a beer opener. They have those. We should get one for you.
Yes, we need to. Okay, Jack, we'll talk.
Okay.
Who's next?
I'll go because I have something new.
Good. You go.
It's a... there we go. Yingling. Hershey's chocolate porter.
I almost picked that up.
I got it because Harvest House didn't have my London Fog last week, and I saw that. I was like, well, I like Yingling. There's chocolate. We'll give it a shot. And it is like almost black. It is so dark, but it is delicious. Yeah, highly recommend. Yeah, it's
so the really original cool. Yuengling plant is not that far away from the Hershey's plant up and down.
Yeah, I know.
That's why they make that mix. Yeah,
okay. It's up the area where I lived. My ex-husband, actually, he was a Cintas driver, and he delivered to the Hershey plant a lot, and the little old ladies in the front office loved him, so they were always filling his pockets with candy. He'd come home and just empty his pockets of all this candy. Yeah,
I went to the Hershey's plant, honey. I got it for monthly supply.
Yeah, so... Yeah, no, it was right up. I never actually went to Hershey Park or any of that, but yeah, that was probably about an hour from where I lived up there, I think.
It's always funny. You never go to the landmarks that are near.
Yeah, I was there for 8 years and I never went. It just wasn't. Yeah. Yeah. So.
Like, I live that close to the Hershey plant. Now, if I lived 100 miles away, it would become a vacation moment.
It would be a road trip.
It would have been a road trip, but because it's around the corner.
Not that interesting.
Oh. Yeah.
All right, Jack. Did you put cheap ass stacks? Who put that on there?
I did not. He did. Cheap pass tax. It's a cheap pass tax. Tax, pass, tax, tax, pass.
Just Man. Noticed it too. All right, Jack, what do you have? Said.
All right, I have a mess. Let's see.
Okay. Let's see.
I have Convict Hills Oatmeal Stout.
Oh, yes. Oh, God, yes.
Oh, yeah. We know this?
This is a good, strong, just general dark beer right here. You want this?
You don't want it. Just your all-purpose beer?
That is like my favorite stout.
Mm, that's good. It almost tastes chocolatey, actually. Mm-hmm.
It's creamy and rich.
Yeah, that's a... I hope they keep that. I will keep buying that one, actually. That's a good one.
Oh, they kind of come out with it year after year. It's not a...
No, I know, but I mean, like, I hope my HEB has it still.
Oh, well. Your local supplier has it?
At least the local supplier in the town I work in. They have a slightly better beer selection than the town I live in, so... Yeah.
Oh, that's an Independence Brewery. That's right here in South Austin.
Yep.
You can go to the brewery and get some.
We need to do that. Just go straight there and just get ourselves some growlers. Is it what they call them?
The growlers are the long
can. Sure.
Or the bigger like container, the little mini keg things.
Aren't the growlers the ones that almost look like a big long flask?
No.
It's a growler.
A growler is usually a glass bottle.
Oh, a jug. A
2-quart.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's like almost like almost like six beers in one kind of deal.
Yeah. It's like a hillbilly jug. That's what it looks like.
Yeah. With the three X's on the side? Yes. You're three absolutely X's on right. The side. Except this was for beer, not for like moonshine or a hooch that he somehow like squeezed out of whatever in his shop.
Cook it up in the bathtub.
Whatever godforsaken bathtub organic teat thing he's got in there, he's just cranking out moonshine with.
Yeehaw.
Yeehaw. Some sort of so
anything else been happening? Oh, Wild Wild West Con just finished last weekend. Yep. Been seeing a lot of people post on Facebook for that.
Obviously, so many good pictures. There. All our good friends. Oh, one day we'll have to fly out there.
I was gonna say, where is it exactly? What state?
Tucson.
Is it? Well, yeah. When I lived in
Midland, it was still almost a 1,000-mile drive, but we had a holdover in El Paso with Lex's parents, was halfway there. And then we just get up in the morning and go halfway again. And it was not as bad, but from Austin, that's a
hell of a drive.
Yeah, that's a week of stuff.
I would kill somebody before the end of that.
And that's when there's, I think flying would probably be the goal. For future. Well, plus, honestly, I don't know if they're doing it at the hotel still, which is fantastic. I really hope that they can get back to be doing it at the Tucson, the studios there, which is the old buildings that they film movies in.
Oh, from, yeah.
Yeah, so it actually feels like you're in a Wild West town again. So
yeah, I was going to say, I thought that's where it was located. Mm-hmm. They stopped doing it there?
It was bought. Or actually, they lost all their money, and the bank took it over.
Okay.
And then I think they've sold it again to a production company. And they're like, we don't do tours. What's wrong with you people? What do you got? Why? And I think finally they're starting to kind of open them up saying, well, this is a living museum for one. And you want people to show up to pay you guys money, right?
Well, yeah, we could. I mean, you know, someday in the future we could plan a trip.
That'd be fun. And we can always go over to Tombstone. Tombstone's fun.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, let's see.
Also, the missile silo that they used in First Contact with Star Trek. So we can actually go touch the same rocket that that Captain Picard touched.
Ooh.
I know.
I'm down for that. Okay.
Okay. We can go to a missile silo.
Road trip. Except we're going to fly because I can't sit in a car for that long.
Me neither.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that would hurt me.
I just don't wanna. Spring, daylight savings time is over or starting. I'm not sure
which. It hasn't happened yet, has it? Did I miss it?
End of this week, I think.
At the end of this okay.
I think we're moving into the savings time happens when it fall when we fall back. So it's in the fall.
That's
the
winter.
Forward when we undo it.
Yeah, the way it is right now, before next week when it changes, the way it is right now is the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
This is the original. Now, yeah. They added an hour in the summer. Or an extra hour of light in the summer.
Yes.
For reasons.
Because we're saving it, I guess.
For a rainy day?
So that day in the fall when we dump it and go back to the normal way.
It's really bad for people's biological or internal clocks, though.
Texas House passed a bill to get rid of it, but it died or it never got voted on in the Senate.
Well, the same with the federal. They were trying to get rid of everybody's Trump, but it's just
essentially. It passed the House, but the Senate people got paid by whoever wants to keep it the way it is to not vote on it and from being a thing.
Well, one of them, was it Arizona that doesn't actually do it?
Arizona doesn't. There's like 26 states or something that doesn't.
When I worked for the call center a couple of years ago, we would have to we'd have to call people all over the country and figure out the time. And that's when I was like, Arizona doesn't actually change. They just whatever time they're always the same. It's very convenient. Mm-hmm. We don't have to figure it out.
I love the rest of us, they're in different time zones at different times of year.
Jumping all around, yeah.
Yeah, there's actually a state that does it. I think it was Iowa or something like that. They made a joke about it in The West Wing, the TV show, because the president was touring and he was at an event and then he had to get to his airplane, which they thought they had another hour. It turns out they were late for their own flight because they were in a different county with a different time frame, a time zone. And even like the White House staff didn't know it was a point of fun contention to explain the fact that that's an issue in this state. It was a funny point out.
Yeah.
And
just need to keep it the way it is now. Stop it everywhere. Just do it. Go back to the natural cycle.
Just split it by 30 minutes and call it good.
So let's get into it.
Okay.
Let's see. Everybody got drinks. Okay.
Yes. Good. Everybody's got drinks.
All right. Topic for the evening.
I actually have a little blurb said for when you actually say it.
Go for it.
So, I mean, you need to explain first, and then I'll do
both. Okay. Blurb.
Oh, and then you'll do okay. Okay. I'll do
the blurb. So this was Jack's idea, really. But he wanted to discuss your typical steampunk 101 convention presentation, and I said, since we're all steampunks already. And I'm assuming that our listeners are as well. We kind of have an idea or a thousand ideas of what steampunk is. How do we boil those down to something that we can present to somebody who doesn't know or wants to know more, but doesn't want to be flooded with
too much?
Our ADHD explanation of things.
So the two classics obviously are, have you seen Wild Wild West? Which is terrible, but it's fun. And a lot of people have.
I mean, they just have,
The other one is, hey, we're going to do our little, the elevator pitch of, the one sentence that makes very little sense to somebody right off. But you crammed as much idea in it as possible. And I've come up with one of those. And it's essentially, outside of it's neo-Victorian science fiction, which first off blows a lot of people's mind. It's tomorrow's technology yesterday. But even then, it doesn't capture the romance of it. That's the problem. Is you miss that? That's the biggest chunk. It's like one third of the whole idea of steampunk is you have gears and weird shit, and then you have romance, and it all links together.
There's also an integral part, but I'm interested.
Yeah, I mean, Gaslight romances. I think that's what Girl Genius is. Technically, it's it's Gaslamp or Gaslight Fantasy. But I mean, there's also 19th century style advanced technology powered by, steam.
Whatever,
which that's it. Yeah, because that's that way. It's kind of encompassing. It's worldwide. It could be anywhere. It could be anywhere in the 19th century. Advanced technology, or not even necessarily, but it's advanced. Yeah. There's gears.
It's essentially you take a time frame of in the past that you want to do something with.
Yeah.
and then you make that now as much as you can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's disagrees.
Very, you know, maybe kind of, sort of.
I mean, or you want to story in something, but then you want to make
plenty of steampunk that is based in the Victorian period.
No, there is. Yeah.
There's just as much post-apocalyptic, not anywhere near Victorian, but trying to grasp the aesthetic and place it into this new new storyline.
And that tends to be my favorite. I love the post-apocalyptic. That is.
So we are learning. Yeah.
That is, but I mean, you can ask five steampunks to define steampunk, and you'll get 25 different answers. So.
Absolutely, that is correct.
Well, I guess it depends on who that new person encounters first.
Well, yeah, it's because I also really, really love Art Deco, and I love exploring it through the arms industry because I really love the Tommy gun. I think it's the most gorgeous thing ever that has come out of that time frame. And I think, and so when I start designing stuff for steampunk, I look at that, and then I'm like, all right, it's blocky, but it has a shape to it that is very important, and it's a gun of the time. And so when I'm looking at time frames, that's something that you can look at, is what is the pinnacle point of technology that is there, and then look at what the average technology is. And I think the reason that a lot of people have a hard time with steampunk and where it's not nailed down is because it's when you think of fantasy, that's medieval time. Doesn't really matter when in medieval time, as long as there's dragons, swords, and castles.
Or like the SCA, where the SCA goes from like the 9th century to the 16th century.
It's a huge swath. Or
17th century. Like, yeah, it's a huge swath of history.
The one invention that changed things takes 20 years to get through whatever country it was in, and then another 50 to propagate out through the rest of the world. So things don't change that fast.
Yeah.
But the closer you get to the 1800s,
it starts accelerating. Yeah.
That 10 years to take over a country, and then 20 years to be, and then now it's to the point where it's 3 weeks to be country, and you know, the Chinese had it five before you even invented it now.
Yeah.
And so
Dax, are you laughing at what Lawrence put? You need to put that up. You need to put that up on the, there you go.
You're right. And I'm gonna screw this up. The ecological hermeneutical.
It's hard to say. Hermeneutical.
Significance of the vast magnatorium of steampunk.
I've been at school for 12 years and I can't translate that sentence.
I'm sitting here just like, and you've lost me.
I know what
and
the I've word means individually.
I don't even know that. I'm pretty sure that's gibberish. But I like it.
It's like, sounds like he needs another drink and then to sit down
over on a t-shirt. So
which part? Kind of having that, and then it sounds like he needs another drink, because that needs to be the next tagline that happens under that line.
I was having this conversation with a coworker at my job, because we were talking about this thing I was working on for the last 2 weeks to get on the show. I was trying to nail down steampunk. He's like, so it has to be steam engines, right? Like, well, no,
it could be a nuclear device. It's etheric. It's got ether.
And I had the hardest time just nailing down what technologies we embrace. And he's like, okay, so nothing digital. I'm like, it's not that it can't be digital. It just needs to look hand manufactured.
Yeah, no mass manufacturing is one of the first things that really goes into it. It's this. Yeah. If mad scientists were still hired the way you hire Leonardo da Vinci, or
were mad scientists ever hired that?
Okay. I know. Well, okay, so you got to look at some of the people in history and how they got away with some of the stuff. Galileo came up with this wonderful device to look at stars with, right?
Oh yeah.
You know how he sold it? How he made his money? He sold. He goes, sets it down at the coast with the generals of his nation and said, "Hey, look. You can now see those boats over there, and who the nation is with them before they even get close enough to shoot you. Isn't this something you need to invest in?" And then suddenly, every castle and every lighthouse and everything bought his deal, so he could fund his search. Like,
man's got to make money for his bread somehow.
And then the church came in and kind of like, well, you know, you're kind of a heretic.
Yes, well,
I'm gonna bury you in a church right next.
But I mean. And it also doesn't help that there's people in the community who are like, everything's, and then there's people who, which also was made me crazy about the SCA, that's not steampunk. That doesn't count. Or that's, you know, there are people in the SCA that would look at your seams to see how they were, if they were period appropriate. So I think that's the other thing, is getting rid of the idea that there is one specific way to do it, or it has to look this way, or
yeah,
you know, the idea that it's a playground, it's a sandbox, you know.
Facts helped me recover from becoming a little elitist when it came to gluing gears on it and calling it steampunk. And
I rail against that song. It's very catchy and fun, but I don't agree with it.
And it was one of those that I would look, okay, when it comes to mass consumerism, I look at steampunk stuff and I will complain because it's terrible. And it's
cheap. Wait, do you not like the song because you think he's serious, or do you not like the song because he's...
I mean, it's not a serious song.
No, I mean, yeah.
His message is pretty straightforward.
Glue things on him and call it steampunk, is what he's saying.
Okay. And it's kind of, it's gatekeeping.
Yes.
Yeah.
So to hell with that.
There's no one right way to do it.
But I also agree with where Jack is about to go. So continue.
Okay, sorry.
So here's how I finally got over this.
Okay.
Because of this, because I remember this being a contention that cheap ass Thax and I had to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
Was because we've had this argument many, many times, and it finally turned me when he says, "Why would you want to stop people getting into steampunk?" And I'm like, "Oh, right, I gotta check myself before I wreck myself on this one." And then I finally came to being with the fact that the moment that mass industry decides to get involved and try to make money on the people who are out here trying to have nice things, that's when I have a defense to it. Because if a kid comes up to me, or a young adult, or someone in college, or someone who just started getting into steampunk, and they glue gears on their hat and they're all sorts of happy about it, that's cool. But if they went out and bought a hat that looks shitty and has gears on it,
say anything,
but I'm just like, kid,
but we are judging you.
We are judging you. You have more money than sense. Please come into my tent, sir. We will talk.
I'm not going to say that. I'm not above buying stuff if I need to, because I cannot sew. Fabric arts are not. But I also try to make sure. Well, I try to make sure I'm getting stuff from, like, if I go on Etsy, it's the few small businesses that are still there.
And that's
yeah, perfect. Stuff like that.
My problem is when you go to the Halloween store and it's
party spirit.
God awful goggles you're paying twice the regular price for, like, these that you
steampunk in a bag.
Oh, lukewarm leather in a bag. I don't know. It's weird. It's not even I don't know.
What no, to call it's it. Like vinyl, pleather.
And there's skull masks with big gears sort of molded onto them just randomly. Yeah. And if you like that, you're getting into steampunk and you
then make it yourself. That, and I'm okay with it.
They've suckered you, but it's never going to be as good as the thing you glued your own gears onto.
Yeah.
That is uniquely yours.
And you have a story that goes with it.
I don't care if your story is, I wanted to glue gears on this. That's fine. Yeah,
but usually, that's the thing. Like when we're like my greaves that I wear on my, from over my boots literally were pounded out on my dining room table with my child sitting in one of the little plastic seats, drinking his bottle. Mm-hmm. And just enjoying the fact that we're sitting there hammering loud objects on the table. He was ecstatic. But, you know, and they're good. I like them. They've held up. I would always want to do more of that, but I haven't ever got around to it. But the fact is that it's really bad craftsmanship. Now, my wife's part of it was great. My part was terrible. But you won't notice that when you just look at them because they're nice. But I know it's bad. And therefore, I have this kind of feeling of, I like them a lot. I have a lot of passion for this project, and if you point them out, I have a story that goes with this, and you know, I have an in person story for the character where he got them and all that fun stuff, because these are the things you're thinking about when you're sitting there just around with leather all day for 4 days straight, 8 hours a day.
Okay, but also, like I said, I am, for all my craftiness, I am a failure when it comes to, like I said, the clothes. Mm-hmm. So I think it's also important to know who to direct. If people can't to direct people, direct them to the people that can help them, like Kitty, or you know, when Benefica was still coming around, or whoever, that you know who to talk to. And then the price may be a little higher, but that's because somebody made it with their own bare hands. Yeah, you know,
you don't get suckered by someone who's just giving you literally the laminated one side leather thing that's $10, but you paid $80 because you thought it was good leather, and they didn't tell you any different.
So, you know, knowing who to help them talk to, you know.
Sure.
That's,
That's everybody one thing. Can't be good at everything. I give you that. And some people want different costumes, and it's just easier. They don't have enough time. They don't feel like they have the skill to make what they are envisioning. I get that. That's totally cool. I think steampunk is open to however you want to approach it, which is why it's so difficult to explain what it is.
And that's one reason I've decided to be a guide in the steam. That's one reason I started Steam Chest, is because I'd find these wonderful vendors that aren't hardly getting any attention at these conventions and make sure that the world knows about them as much as I could. And so that was my whole deal, was trying to be just bringing people more things to the world that I could find.
Yeah, because it's kind of hard. I mean, you can, for someone like me, you hand me a list of books and movies, I will do my research, but not everybody wants to have to, you know, go through the books and the movies. There's like City of Lost Children is considered steampunk, but then we've got Steam Boy, you know, anime, which is very different. And then, you know, we've got Mortal Engines, and we've got Wild Wild West, and it's just all over the place. Like, it's very, very hard to describe, and I don't know why, but I think it's just blossomed into this huge thing that it's I don't know. That's why I would just tell somebody, go to a festival, go to Steampunk November, go to Galveston, and you know, see what everybody else is doing.
I just got a text message this week from my sister. I'm trying to find it.
Oh, I thought maybe we were boring you.
No. She said, have you seen this movie, Mortal Engines? You would love it. You should go see it.
Oh,
I know. Would you like my copy of the book? It's way better.
I get those kind of messages from my brother. He's like, hey, Lizzie, I think you would really like this.
Okay, Lawrence has got a new one.
Yeah, but he's also got weird characters in there.
Nah, I don't think that was him. Steampunk
he's sending secret messages.
Modern technology, a la iPads, computers, robotics, air travel, powered by steam and set in the 1800s. Sometimes it is. Uh-oh.
What is Jack?
Jack is gone.
Is he muted?
Okay, I'm sorry. I was.
I just see all of this.
My hand's waving around. But actually, The Amazing Screw-On Head is a wonderful comic or 30 to 45 minute video.
Yeah, and you've told us about that.
Paul Giamatti is the voice of,
I love
of
him.
The automaton. And the guy who plays Niles Crane from Frasier is the
David
villain.
Hyde Pierce. Oh,
he plays Lord Zombie, and it is freaking hilarious. He is great. He basically plays himself. He's just a high British dude. But what's funny is that the Amazing Screw-On Head gets communiques. He's kind of like Captain America of like this early of the 1800s for America, and so Abraham Lincoln's talking to him through a communications device, but it's a picture of Abraham Lincoln's face with like flaps for the eyes to like blink, and the mouth just flaps open and closed. So it's obviously just it's not a visual thing, but they needed a visual way to represent someone talking and not just having the phone conversation or a radio or whatnot. And so it was actually really funny to see how they did that. And so I could imagine that being a little thing that pops up on your phone. It's just a picture of the person with like the little flap that moves. It shows where their mouth is moving, and you know, so you could just have like cartridges. You'd stick, oh, I'm calling fax today, click, and then it'd be his picture of his cartoonish face with his mouth just flapping open his mouth.
Well, and you kind of reminded me. Did y'all ever see the movie Nine, the animated movie?
Oh, yes, of course.
Okay, I was just making sure with the Stitch Punks, the dolls. I had forgotten about that movie until I'm going to have to watch that again. Because I think that one definitely fits in.
Terminator for anything under 3 feet tall? Yes.
Jack reminded me of the LBJ Library here at UT has a presentation of the robotic LBJ who I think it was originally developed for Disneyland.
Oh, like Hall of Presidents?
Yeah. So the LBJ robot from Hall of Presidents is in his library,
and
they have changed out his voice to recordings of his own speeches. But yeah, he's just a flappy mouth president guy.
Ew. That sounds terrible.
That's fantastic.
Okay. Lawrence's elevator pitch, it's pretty solid if you're gonna, you know, boil it down to one sentence. Modern tech, but powered by steam and set in the 1800s. I mean,
you got to go with the fact that it's kind of more analog. Or depending on your world, is it more? Is it still digital? If it's digital and it's powered by steam engine, then you could just say nuclear power took over. But instead of having massive machines somewhere, you have it more localized. Like power sources are smaller, therefore you have more little locomotion or little generators everywhere. So people are selling you bottles of water to fill up your phone, and you know things like that. So. You don't want your phone to go critical in your pocket. That'd be bad.
Well, and I think I like the fact that the big focus has always been on technology, like the early computers. Mm-hmm. You know, the difference engine. That book was a lot. You know, the idea behind it. And not even that. I mean, the technology that is being rediscovered that is so much older. You know, the Antikythera mechanism, mm-hmm. one of the earliest computers that they still don't really understand everything.
How it works.
It works, yeah. Like, how did they create this 2,000 years ago? It's just so.
Here's my hand,
dude. Can you imagine?
The other thing I like about Steam Chest steampunk and or just alternate history is where you take these dead end technologies and you go as far as you can with them to the logic to whatever conclusion you wanted. Like airships had a very fine moment and then they were gone.
Yes, there was too many explosions, and they were.
Hydrogen is not the way to go, but helium is not that prevalent in the European Union. Oddly enough, one of the largest helium mines on the planet is like in Kansas.
I still can't believe that's a finite resource. I never thought about where helium came from, but the fact that there's like a helium reserve.
Breathe in a balloon and you make the funny noise. Just realize you just took away the ability for us to weld something somewhere else.
Oh no!
It wasn't this funny.
You're gonna make children cry everywhere. So mean.
But so that's a thing. And what else? What else? One thing. I sat down with my father-in-law, and he's this guy who has all these weird ideas. He's kind of he's a very very smart individual who does math for fun and basically just does world building all the time. But one of the things I asked him was like, what kind of technology would there be existing if we weren't having radar and we wanted to attach it to an airship? Well, apparently this is already existing, and it turned out it was by accident. And from the fact that on big boats, there's usually a big copper wire that runs around the outside to basically keep static electricity from building up.
I knew that.
Well, interestingly enough, if you put it on an airship in the sky,
airships in space.
You can actually, and if you have more than however many attachments you can have on the outside to kind of break it off a little bit, it can pick up other resonances of magnetic fields from very far distances. So the longer you have of this coil, or the longer your airship is, the bigger the range is, the longer distance you can actually pick up a resonance. Now it's not like
a chunky antenna.
It's not like an accurate like, oh, it's at, you know, 135 degrees, but you get this very wide variance. If there's something this far at so many miles away, that's also big in metal. So you have a resonant passive radar for other airships that you can build onto your airship. All you got to do is run an electric current through it. And so, of course, it's heavy. It's copper. And you're trying to put these copper cables around an airship. But
probably not a good idea.
But he sat down and he went through like five or six ideas, and this is the best one he came up with. And so I'm like, you know, I don't hear much about this being in a steampunk setting. So I'm really kind of sitting around going, I would love a hard science fiction steampunk naval warfare book now.
Well, go for it. Write it for us.
I need to. I am not nearly. I don't have nearly the time.
Don't let people steal your ideas. Go for it.
No, it's a fantastic idea.
That's what I'm saying. You're just throwing it out there for somebody else to grab.
No, I'm okay with this. I would love to read it. I have this show to do and other things.
You're a busy man. Rita, that link didn't work for me. Was it supposed to end with what is Texas Steampunk Connection?
Oh, are we on there?
No, it's a 404 page not found.
Oh, well, they definitely didn't find us then, did they?
No one knows what we are.
So what best kept secret in steampunk.
I was talking with my coworker. We talked about technology and the DIY aspect, and then I got it and I stepped in it. I brought up steampunk music. Uh-oh. And then was not able to define that either.
Again, a very broad range.
Yes, yeah,
pirates.
And I ultimately, and I've said this before, steampunk music is whatever music steampunks are listening to.
It's whatever blows their skirt up. Yeah, it's, you know, this sounds like steampunk, you know. I actually have a Spotify playlist that's the essential steampunk that took me forever to create. It's out of date now, though. I haven't updated it in a long time.
I mean, it can't really go out of date the way steampunk
The original
is.
List, there's the full steampunk playlist, which is like 1,000 songs. And then I cut it down to the essential, which I think is like 100 songs.
We need a definitive list.
I will.
Oh, speaking of music, I showed Thax something before the show, before you arrived.
It's like, brace yourself.
Like death metal banjo music.
I saw the link. I just didn't have time to.
So my friend who he's Greek and he works as a sea mariner. So he's on a boat for like 6-7 months at a time. Like, you know, a freighter ship all over the planet. Sometimes he'll be like, we're rounding Cape Horn. And I hear that on Discord and everyone's like, good God, be safe. But he sent me a link because he's like, but the guys on my boat just happened to have this. And he just sends me this 25-second chunk of this song. And it's obviously someone who like recorded it during a do it on their phone or something in the middle of this person's concert, and they just put it up on the internet as a joke. And I need more of it. I don't know where to find more of it. I can't find it. So I will post it in comments if anyone wants to look at it. It has some lewd writing on it, so just be wary of that. But that's not gonna work. That's too long. But I didn't realize deathcore banjo music was a thing. Now I do. And I'm
The band, the gentleman who would not be blamed for nothing, they're like Victorian punk, like Victorian speed metals. If you've never listened to them, they are
there is
amazing.
That.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
And before the show, you guys were talking about goths and the color brown.
Goths who discovered brown, yes.
Sure. But there are some significant maybe goth bands that sort of diverged enough that fell into steampunk.
Yeah. I mean, it's about the songs and how they make me feel.
About the song, what's going on in it. So obviously you have your Airship Pirate songs by Captain Roberts and his crew.
Abney Park,
which, you know, those ring true for as a very core example of steampunk music to a lot of people. But then you have a lot of your goth rock operas and whatnot, which still work with the darker side of things. You got your
there's also the Decemberists who have the Mariner's Revenge. They have the whale song.
That's such a great song.
Every time that comes on in the car, Matt and I sing it from beginning to end.
I love it because it's a story.
Well, that's the Decemberists' music is stories. All of their music, it's just a story from beginning to end. Bagman's Gambit, all of it. So they do have songs that definitely roll through, which a lot of these I found because Clockwork Cabaret. Because I've been listening to them since the beginning. So, yeah, they introduced me to a lot of the stuff. But, yeah, I love the Decemberists. They're a good one.
Maybe you're onto something here. Something that ties all of steampunk stuff together is the story.
Gears
on a thing. I'm not bashing. But it needs to, you know, begin to tell a story. And that's something that buying the cheap plastic mask from the place doesn't do well.
And I think it's very tied to the characters. It's almost like every story is a character development. Because what happens when you go up to a convention and you run into another person who's steampunk? What's the one question you either want to ask or you want to stay away from if you leave in 3 minutes? What is your character's story? And so
it's your character.
Tell me about your character. Oh, God, we're going to be here for days.
Have you listened to my podcast?
Yeah.
That tells you all about my character.
Exactly. And
I'm a horse riding librarian now.
That was
probably we're all riding.
It was the Biblioboro, wasn't it? There's a guy in Mexico who has a donkey, and he loads it with books, and he takes it around to different settlements and villages, and it's called the Biblioboro.
Wow. I should have stolen its picture.
Oh, no.
Put a dress on him.
No. So mean. Well, I still don't have a StreamYard account yet, so I shared the link for my Steampunk Essentials playlist in the Facebook.
Thank you.
Yeah, actually, I was wrong. It's almost 200 songs, so apparently I added some more at some point. I had to pare it down. There's a lot of songs that fall under steampunk.
Oh,
yes,
yeah.
The Cog is Dead is amazing. I love them. They're very good.
Thanks for chiming in, Warlord of Art.
Yeah, The Cog is Dead is really good. The Shot Donkey. Are you going to have that, Johnny? Will you have a Shot Donkey? Books and shots.
I had someone tell me that
early 19th century. Just say early 19th century.
Well, no, they specifically said that Edwardian. Yeah, I'll get it yet. Oh, anyway.
King Edward.
Yes. Horror is Edward's not steampunk.
Wait, what?
And I'm just like, how is it not?
Wait, Edwardian what?
Like, there's no weird technology. I'm like, but
Frankenstein.
He gets an alternate hit. Mm, yeah, exactly.
Frankenstein is early 19th.
I guess it wouldn't technically count it. Yeah.
Well, I mean, Mary Shelley's kind. I mean, if you really read the book, she doesn't explain the creature's creation at all, but she does explain the lab. And when you,
and the lab is—it's funny. That's like the most consistent thing across all of the TV shows and stories and movies.
Yeah.
Is that there are Jacob's ladders and like very specific technology, and it's always struck by lightning through a window in the
ceiling. Well, that was included, but the actual like all of the other, it was just lots of boiling and steam, and he's racing around, and you know, there wasn't. It's open for anyone to create an image of it.
Yeah, I mean, but it has that ability to give everyone very similar vibes.
Yeah,
and. Yeah. So I didn't understand how this person didn't think that the fact that I play a game called Hunt Showdown and how it's a survival horror game set in 1893 in like Louisiana Bayou. And so how is this not steampunk? It was like, well, all the guns are historically accurate, blah, blah, blah. Like, except for the fact that hell, like demons in hell, well, not even hell. It's some sort of weird evil that's coming hell through to a portal. Yeah, it's like it's Doom in 1883.
How does the guns being historically accurate make it not?
I know it doesn't. Like, and they're also the quirky guns of the 1893s.
Yeah, there were some really wild ass guns back then.
It's before automatic weapons. So there's a lot of ways of like weird loaders and auto loaders and suppression was still trying to be worked on. So all that's in the game, and it's weird. And I'm trying to. He's like, but it's not steampunk. They don't have goggles. And I'm
just, okay, but. Okay, but that's like saying things like a submersibles, they exist. Submersibles show up in a lot of steampunk. They're historically accurate, though. They killed a lot of people. Like, men died in droves.
And more people died in the submarine.
Yes, everybody suffocated. They kept sending them down. Like the but
the thing that makes them steampunk is that they actually work.
True. Although the one in Sherry Priest's book about the Ganymede, hers, it was touch and go. It was touch and go.
Thank God for the whatever device. Here we go. It's how we smoke in a space station.
But that's why the Victorian period or the Gilded Age was so ripe for us to plunder for steampunk, because all the technology was new and exciting and weird.
Crazy. The stuff that they came up with. You should look up the patents from that time period, because I used some of them in some of the projects I was making. I looked up the old patents for like the mechanical arms that they made and the mechanical legs. The stuff that was never actually made. But
the idea for most modern technology actually came from the mid 1800s. Like 1850 was the fax machine and fiber. So like
It was there.
We just didn't have a way to manufacture it. We can make light move.
Yeah, because the Sherry Priest's Clockwork Century books, every device, each book has focused on a different, like, there's a train, there's a submersible, blah, blah, blah. They're all based on patents that she found, I think, in the Tennessee patent. So yeah, they're all based on patents that were just never...
The story you want to by just taking the bits of technology you want to go and become sarcastically what becomes of the world.
Scavenging is steampunk.
It's especially definitely one of those things of I want more trains in my world. Okay, well
done. I like trains.
This world needs more trains.
Don't get me started. I've started fights with truckers on the internet because I insisted that their job should be replaced by trains.
Oh, thanks. No.
Trains are more fuel efficient at carrying large amounts of stuff across the country. It would get all of those trucks off the highway.
Be less likely to kill people because they're all hopped up on speed all the time.
Right? I mean,
I'm just saying.
Or heart problems. Yeah, I know a couple people who have heart problems. So
there's still jobs for truckers, but it would just be that last mile trucking from the train station where the equipment is coming off to the retail stores in your city or large metropolitan area.
It's
that would
not
be
a healthy profession. It's bad for everybody. Yeah. Except for there is a YouTube account about truckers with their cats. There's trucker cats. the truckers have their cats that ride around with them. It's so cute. Sorry.
Today I saw a meme of a guy. It was obviously night, and he was taking his minute to have. He had the Apple goggles on, playing something with arrows in the parking lot in front of this other guy's semi. And this guy's like, "This is what I woke up to this morning." And he's recording this guy, just like
he's just
doing his thing out
personal
the parking
time.
Lot.
Relaxing. Personal time.
He's sitting there being recorded for like 5 minutes, and he's just looking like he's playing like some sort of arrow game.
No,
I'm just like, this is the dystopian future we've arrived in.
Yeah, it's racing up on us real fast.
It's like we got a little bit of everything from all the dystopian science fictions, all just kind of doing their own percolation right now. We don't know, not one of them's going to take over. We're going to live in a melange of all.
Yes, Johnny, you will see us very soon.
We're counting the days down because I took Friday off.
When we come back, we're going to some eclipse thing that next day that my sister-in-law is hosting. So, yeah, she rented like some big field. I can't remember where. And it's just going to be a party in the field and watch the eclipse. So, yeah.
Nice.
I need to find out if I'm hauling fax with me or not. This is my time to drive.
Like you're going to hook him up to the back of the car.
Time to the top, you know, whatever.
Anna and Chris and National Lampoon's
I got a nice recliner.
Get a strap. No. I want pictures.
Oh, let's see us pull up.
No, but he needs to be in his steampunk gear up there.
His goggles on.
Like he's king of the road.
His chin.
Yeah, I was going to say, his top hat needs to have a chin strap.
There's a slot for a beer to be sticking with a long straw.
And he could just ride down the road like the king of steampunk. Just ride, parade right into Galveston.
Flipping in the wind like this.
Well, good news, bad news. We're coming up on 9 o'clock.
Yes, we are.
This was too easy, too fast, too short.
Johnny wants you to hold the festival logo as you ride into Galveston, Dex.
Just out in front of him like this, as he's like flapping himself in the face with it. Carmina Burana playing.
Just waving to the crowd.
Who is that?
We'll do a drive-by real slow of the line.
Why is he wearing a top hat and a crown? Who is that guy?
Why isn't he wearing a crown?
We'll make sure that the entire, you know, all the people waiting to get in are wrapped around. He'll just sit there with the queen's wave as we pass by everybody.
Be the prettiest girl at the prom. Okay, and with that picture in your heads.
Let me tell you about our patrons who are helping us keep the lights on here.
We appreciate you.
Thank you so much.
We appreciate everybody who is helping us out here.
Tuesdays are never the same.
I hope not. Texas Steampunk Connection is supported in part by J.R. Seeger's A School for the Great Game. Edwardian teen Elizabeth Bancroft resents being sent to a finishing school in India. That school is, in fact, the British India School for Spies, teaching the family business of espionage, martial arts, and the Tibetan mystic arts. The School for the Great Game is the first in the Steampunk Garage series available on Amazon. We are also supported by Fair Treasures. Fair Treasures is a selection of Texas-made female-presenting costumes and accessories for steampunk and Renaissance wear and one-of-a-kind imported jewelry. You can shop Fair Treasures at fairtreasures.com, fair spelled with an E, or they're on Etsy. So thank you, Kitty, owner of Fair Treasures, for helping us out. We also have patrons on Patreon who are helping by buying us a beer or whatever they can help us with. Those include Jenny and Ryan Shaver, who have been patrons for quite a long time, and Natalie McTavish, who is a certified aeronaut recognized by the Texas Steampunk Connection. And, of course, a generous grant from the crew of the airship Aberfeldy, Rita and Lawrence Allen. Thank you, guys. Thanks to you, we've been able to order our steampunk promotional
paraphernalia,
flyers, and
paraphernalia.
business cards and that sort of thing that we'll have at the upcoming Galveston Steampunk Festival, which are all graphics design was handled by our friend Megan Higgins, who is going to be our official graphic designer from now on because she didn't charge me for it. Thank you, Megan. Let's see. The opening music was Horses to Water by Topher Moore and Alex Elena. And I found them on YouTube. Thank you. Thank them for letting us use their music. Anything else we want to throw out here?
When is our next episode?
Next episode is in 2 weeks.
That's the 19th. 19th. Okay, but so then, and then after that is the second. So we'll have an episode right before we go to.
Right. Oh, yeah. Right. Okay. The last minute panic for going.
I have nothing to wear episode.
Pretty much.
Kitty, I need an appointment now episode.
And if we hadn't mentioned it already, we are going to be performing live, doing a live show at the Galveston Steampunk Festival. So if you'd like to meet us and see us do the same thing, but like in your face, we'll be there.
For the live studio audience. No more canned laughter for us.
Vaguely terrifying, but okay, let's do it.
I will be fine. We'll be fine. I'll be up there and I'll be okay. I'll be the calm one all the way up until we're on stage and then I'll freeze up.
No, great. No. So Thax is gonna have to pull it together. I'll make sure my Xanax is refilled before we go on stage.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, again, thank you everyone for tuning in, saying hello to us. We really appreciate your feedback. If you have anything to add, you can still add things in the Facebook comments or YouTube comments or send us an email. I'm going to run the outro. It's still the old one with Flavio because I can only do so many things at once. But it's okay. Until next time, hey, mind your gauges, everybody.
Mind your gauges. So once again, thank you for listening. You can find us again on Facebook at Texas Steampunk Connection for any comments, questions, suggestions. If you know of something happening steampunk that's happening soon, we can put it on our calendar, on our Patreon, as well as the list of over 100 comics and graphic novels, steampunk and Weird West related.
You can also email us at TexasSteampunkConnection@gmail.com. And we're a streaming podcast, TexasSteampunkConnection.podbean.com.
And if you lose it on Facebook and you want to watch a rerun of this show at any point in time on YouTube, you can go find them on Steam Chest.
And although we've made many, many jokes about Twitter, you could look for us at TX Steam Connect 1 on Twitter.
I never use it. I never look at it. I don't know. I don't understand Twitter. Yeah. So, yeah. Once again, thank you very much. And until next time, mind your gauges.